You're listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to KYUK. I'm your wellness programming producer, Alyssa Lachlan. Today, we have a very special treat for you, an extra COVID call-in show. I know we have a lot of questions about COVID as cases start to rise, and the Delta variant continues to confuse all of us. Here with me today are Dr. Ellen Hodges and Public Health Director Brian Lefferts from YKHC. And if you'd like to call in and ask them any questions, our numbers are 543-5985 and 1-800-995-8954. And unless anyone calls in with a question, I'm going to hand it over to Dr. Hodges and Brian. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having us. We're happy to be on here and to talk about what we're seeing COVID-wise right now in the YK Delta, in the state and around the country. And hopefully we'll get some calls today. So if anybody has any calls or questions, please feel free to call in at the number that Elle provided. I'll start off with just a brief overview of cases that we're seeing right now. So since the pandemic we've seen over 6,200 cases here in the YK Delta. Since May, though, we've seen each month since May the number of cases doubled. Or more than doubled, actually, each month. So twice as many cases in June as there was in May, and then twice as many in July, and then that doubled again and more than doubled again in August. See similar trends just the last few weeks. So the last week of July, there were 68 cases announced, and then 80, then 90. A couple weeks ago, we had 154, and this last week, we were 205 cases announced. So the direction we're headed in right now is concerning. Currently, we have 29 communities with active cases, and there are 234 total active cases right now. And we have over 1,000 people quarantining as close contacts. Dr. Hodges? Can you give us an update on vaccination numbers?
Sure, Ken. Thanks, Brian, for that update. I just wanted to ask you, I'm not sure I heard you right. Did you say there were over 1,000 people quarantining who were close contacts? Is that what you said?
Yeah, right now we have 1,000 people. It's actually, did I say over? It's actually like 978 or something like that. So it's a little bit under, actually. But yeah, close to 1,000.
That's a lot. I remember it just seems like a lot of people have in quarantines for being close contacts. And yeah, our cases are kind of headed in the wrong direction for sure, both nationwide, statewide, and certainly here as well. So for vaccinations, one of the things that we track here at YK is both the percentage of the total population that has been fully vaccinated, and then we also track the eligible population that has been fully vaccinated. So when we talk about fully vaccinated, what we mean is that they have received two doses of either Pfizer or Moderna, and it's been 2 weeks after the second dose, or it's 2 weeks after the single dose of Johnson & Johnson. So the percentage of our total population that has received both doses of an mRNA or a single dose of Johnson & Johnson is 50.2. So about 50% of our total population is considered protected, fully protected against severe COVID. And our eligible population, which is anyone who is age 12 and older who has received both doses of an mRNA vaccine or a single dose of Johnson & Johnson is 65.7%. So we've got a little ways to go in getting our population vaccinated. I would really like to see that percentage of eligible population to be 100%. It's the best way we have right now of protecting a population. So vaccine is good. It protects you. It prevents you from getting severe COVID or hospitalization or death. But it also protects those around you, protects those around you who maybe they can't get vaccinated because they're less than 12, or maybe their immune system doesn't work as well as it could. So there's double reason to get vaccinated there, for sure.
Oh, sorry, I was on mute there. So when I was driving in today, I was listening to the radio, and they were there's a KYUK. They covered a story where they had the director of the Alaska Hospital Association on there talking about just what a terrible state I think we're in right now as far as hospital beds in the state, and you know, that was really concerning to me. Can you would you be able to share from your perspective what we're seeing as far as ICU beds available in the state, and maybe even I think I heard Washington's full too?
Yeah, that is very concerning. So one of the worst worries I have and the biggest concerns I have is this problem that Brian was just talking about, and that's that there aren't any ICU beds left in the state of Alaska, and really not any in Washington either, because they're also being overwhelmed. So this is for COVID patients who require intensive care services. So maybe they're on a ventilator, had to be, you know, have us help breathe for them. But also for anyone else who needs an intensive care bed. So anyone who's having a bad stroke or a heart attack or a bad accident, there's no beds for them either. So, we have been having increasing difficulty here in Bethel transferring our intensive care unit patients out. So far, everyone's been able to get transferred out. But if this trend continues the way it's going, we're not going to have any beds for people who need intensive care in the very near future. So I guess, yeah. And that's just it's a very worrisome thing for me. We didn't have that even at the worst of the pandemic last fall. We never got to this point where there were absolutely no beds for our sickest patients.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we just don't, you know, we don't think about that, you know, we think about how it's concerning and scary to not have beds available for COVID patients. But, you know, when those beds are filling with COVID patients, that means that they're also not available for anybody else that might need it. So it's if you need to get medevac for a heart attack or stroke or aneurysm or, you know, a car crash, four-wheeler crash, I mean, those adult ICU beds aren't available for individuals in those situations either. And I know I was thinking about this yesterday quite a bit, and it's just, for me personally, it's just really stressful and frustrating thinking about how so many of these cases where we see COVID patients on in the ICU, sometimes for weeks and weeks, are just totally preventable cases as well.
Yeah, that is, it's very heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to talk to those patients. It's heartbreaking to talk to those families. Because yeah, this right now, COVID is an entirely preventable disease. Severe COVID, the vaccine is almost 100% protective against severe COVID. So people may still get a positive test. They might still get a cough or a runny nose, but the people who are needing medevacs and needing ICU level care and dying, those people are all unvaccinated. And I think that's just, it's hard to see that because, you know, this is something that we can all do for ourselves and for each other, is to get vaccinated against this disease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The vaccine's super effective against that. I have heard a little bit that there might be some individuals who have been fully vaccinated that might not have as strong a protection right now. Maybe individuals who've been immunocompromised or taking drugs that maybe suppress their immune system. For those individuals, now the FDA has authorized a third dose. And that's a little bit different than a booster dose. It's a third dose for anybody that's more than, I think, 28 days past their second dose who might qualify. So for those individuals who really want to get them, in to get that third dose, because they might have a little bit less protection and maybe a higher risk, even though they're vaccinated for more severe COVID. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. So what that is people who are considered, like you just said, immune compromised. So the biggest group of people that we're worried about there are people who are maybe getting cancer treatment that suppresses their immune system, or they're on medicines that they're taking maybe for rheumatoid arthritis that cause their immune system not to work as well. So those people for sure we need to see and give a third dose to. And then people who have organ transplants, so solid organ transplant or bone marrow transplants, especially if they're on medicine, that really, you know, affect their immune system. And then anyone who has an immune deficiency that's either like an acquired immune deficiency like HIV, or they have an inherited immune deficiency. So it's pretty uncommon, but if people are in that category, need to give us a call and we'll get you scheduled for that third dose. So you're right. It's a little bit different than the boosters that everyone's talking about. These are for people who their primary series is going to be three doses. So they're going to get those first two doses of either Pfizer or Moderna. And then about 28 days later, we're going to go ahead and give them that third dose. So.
Right. So anybody that thinks or not sure if they might qualify for a third dose or thinks they might, or if you're not sure at all and just have a question about it, what kind of instructions do we have for them? Because I think we want to get them in immediately, not wait at all, just get those individuals in right away to get that third dose.
Yeah, right away. So go ahead and call. If you are here in Bethel, we want you to call that 543-6949 number, and we'll go ahead and get you scheduled for that third dose. And if you're in a village, call your village clinic, and we'll put you on a list the next time vaccines are being done so that you can get your vaccination. So that's really important that people get that done. Because we really want to offer the best protection possible to that group. I will say that nationwide, the people who are having trouble in having to be admitted to the hospital, even though they've had both doses of their mRNA vaccine or a single dose of Johnson & Johnson, almost all of them have been immune compromised. And that's one of the reasons why CDC said that that's a group of people we should really focus on. So go ahead and give us a call and we'll get you scheduled right away.
Okay, yeah, and if you're not sure, call anyways. We definitely want to take a look and be able to let you know if you do or should. And then for those of you or for anybody who has had both doses that doesn't qualify, there's a lot of talk about booster shots. Sounds like, I know we're seeing this here in the YK Delta. We hear about breakthrough cases. And those are cases for people who are considered fully vaccinated. It's been more than 2 weeks after their first dose of the Johnson & Johnson, or more than 2 weeks after the second dose of either of the mRNA vaccines, if they get COVID, which can happen. I guess we're seeing that happen more frequently. Usually it's just mild disease, but it's something they can pass on to others. We're not seeing severe complications typically, because they're protected by the vaccine from hospitalization. Because we're seeing a little more of that, we're hearing talk about and possibly some waning immunity or less protection due to the Delta variant. We're hearing that they may be offered a booster dose, which we're hoping will bring us back to that 95% effectiveness, we're hoping. So when have you heard any news on when that might come out?
Yeah. So we think that might happen around September 20th. That was the announcement that was made to us. And I know that the CDC and the FDA still have to approve that. So we're waiting for those approvals. But we're planning and making everything kind of getting ready to offer those boosters starting on September 20th if the FDA and the CDC authorize it. So we're pretty excited about that. We think that that might really help with this problem with people who are fully vaccinated who still catch COVID. And like Brian just said, sometimes those people, they're less likely to get COVID in the first place and they don't get as sick, but they still could pass it on to other people, specifically to other people who may not be able to be vaccinated because they're under 12 or those people who have those compromised immune systems. So I think that's just an important thing to keep up and stay tuned. We'll make announcements and start taking appointments for that once it's been approved by the CDC. You know, Brian, one other thing that often comes up in relationship to vaccines is people will say, well, I'm good. I already had COVID, and I don't need to get vaccinated. What do you say to say that?
Oh, well, you know, that's actually something we're seeing. We call those reinfection cases, and there have been a lot of reinfection cases here. Those are people that have had COVID in the past that get COVID again. And usually we don't think you'll get COVID in the first 90 days or so after you've had COVID. And so in those situations, we ask people who tested positive recently and not even to test. But over time, we're seeing, you know, a lot of reinfection cases. People talk about breakthrough cases, but there's a lot of reinfection cases as well. And in fact, you know, we've seen the number of reinfection cases between June and July quadrupled, then it more than doubled again between July and August. So we're seeing a lot of reinfection cases, and it's extremely important people who've had COVID before go get vaccinated. What's very rare is what we call breakthrough reinfection. So people who've had COVID, who got vaccinated, and then get COVID again, it almost never happened. So, you know, if you've had COVID before, definitely go get, go to the clinic or come to YK if you're not already vaccinated, and make sure you get vaccinated, because you can get COVID again. Sometimes those are severe infections, and we really want to get you protected. You can protect yourself by getting vaccinated, but also, Dr. Hodges mentioned, you're less likely to get it, but also then less likely to give it to other people. And especially if you've had COVID before and you get vaccinated, it's very rare for somebody to then get COVID again if they're vaccinated. So please come in and get vaccinated. Another group that, you know, I just was looking at some data the other day, and I noticed one area we're doing pretty good with adults vaccinated, and it's not nearly as high as what we'd like it to be. I think our vaccination rates in adults is, what did you say, around 60%? Is that right?
Yeah, for fully vaccinated, we were saying that was about 66%.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I was 100%. You know, it would be a totally different situation if we had everyone that could get vaccinated, fully vaccinated. But one age group where I saw is really lacking in vaccinated is our younger kids that qualify. So those 12 to 19-year-olds, especially the 12 to 15-year-olds, it's a small percentage of much smaller percentage of the population who's vaccinated in that age group. I think I looked at it the other day and it was something like 37%. Mm. What's amazing is just how many fewer breakthrough cases we see in that age group relative to the percentage vaccinated. So this vaccine's like highly, highly effective in that age group, and it's totally safe for that age group as well. And yet, you know, a lot of the kids in that age group who qualify still haven't got vaccinated yet. So I'd really encourage that group to come get vaccinated as well, especially now that they're in school.
Yeah, that certainly has a potential to help keep our kids safer in school. You know, if everyone who can get vaccinated is vaccinated in schools, I think that's one of the biggest ways to keep really everyone safe in our schools, because that group, and especially, you know, especially because we can't vaccinate those under 12. I think you were telling me the other day, Brian, that about half our new cases are in kids that can't get vaccinated at all, that can't be protected at all. So I think that's a really important thing for everyone to keep in mind, too, is that as a community, our only way to protect those children is to get vaccinated. A study was recently released showing that the Delta variant for whatever reason, is making our kids sicker than the original strain that was circulating last fall. So one in 50 kids who catch COVID have the potential to be hospitalized. And we certainly have seen that here in the YK Delta, with many of our recent hospitalizations being in children and babies who have caught COVID. And I think that's just important for everyone to keep in mind, too, that, you know, if you're a person that lives in a community with children, which all of us are, I think the best way to protect them is really for all of us to get vaccinated, because we really have to reduce that amount of virus that's circulating around in the community to protect that age group.
Yeah, definitely. And that's right. Like most of the cases we're seeing right now are in kids, and boy, especially for those 12 to 19-year-olds or so, this vaccine is super, super effective. And so it can not only prevent severe disease, but prevent any disease. And then that means they're also not going to spread it to other people. So, you know, if we can get those kids in, get vaccinated, you know, those kids are around other younger kids as well, you know, siblings who can't get vaccinated. And so we can, you know, we can completely protect them by getting, or protect them a lot more by getting anybody that can get vaccinated, go ahead and get them vaccinated. The schools, though, are doing a pretty good job, I thought, at helping to prevent COVID transmission from within the school. Mm-hmm. Call that, they're doing layered mitigation, requiring masks, trying to keep kids physically distanced, and help them with testing. I know we've seen a few cases associated with the school recently, but you know, I've been talking with the contact tracers, and we're not seeing or very rarely seeing in-school transmission.
Well, that's really good to hear. And you were talking a little bit about masks. Maybe we should talk a little bit about why it's so important to wear a mask when you're outside of your house. I think that's, you know, because the CDC has been, you know, they said that, you know, you need to wear a mask all the time. And then they sort of changed their mind and said, well, if you're fully vaccinated, maybe you don't have to wear a mask. And now we're back. Everyone needs to wear a mask. So maybe we could talk a little bit about why it's so important to wear a mask, especially if you're indoors with people not in your own household.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, masks do a couple things. They can protect the wearer, and they protect the people who are around the wearer. Mm-hmm. So if you have a mask on, I've seen a number of different estimates, and it really depends on what kind of mask you have. But if you have just like a triple layer cloth mask, it probably provides you in the neighborhood of somewhere around 20% protection.
Mm-hmm.
From getting COVID if somebody next to you doesn't have a mask on and they have COVID. So it provides a little bit of protection. Now there's respirators, masks, N95 masks are technically called, you know, a respirator, and that can protect the wearer, almost 100% of the time, but if it's properly fitted. But, you know, you're just your typical surgical mask or, triple layer cloth mask, really is more designed to stop you from giving COVID to the people around you. And mm-hmm. if you're wearing a mask, a surgical mask or triple layer cloth mask properly, and it's tight fitting, then, and you have COVID and don't know it, which happens all the time. I mean, like most people, a lot of people don't have any symptoms from COVID and can give it to others. But almost everybody is infectious for a couple days before they have symptoms. So that's probably one of the reasons why this is such a dangerous disease, because with a lot of illnesses, if you're sick and you stay away from other people, you're probably not going to get them sick. But with this, you can give COVID to other people for a couple of days before your symptoms start and not even know it. So it's really important that you have a mask on all the time, because it's 80% effective to stop you from giving COVID to other people. And it's just a simple thing that I think anybody can do to put a mask on anytime they're around anyone who is not a member of their household. Avoid large gatherings, of course. Get vaccinated, you know, of course. But for now, especially as we're seeing breakthrough cases, you know, anybody at all, whether you're vaccinated or not, should wear a mask around anybody outside their household so that you don't unknowingly transmit COVID to them. And the schools are doing a great job with that. And so we just, I love seeing any sort of policies or requirements amongst businesses or at the post office or anywhere else you go, just please consider masking up.
Yeah, I think that's especially important since there's no ICU beds left. So anyone who's severely ill might not get the care they need if we aren't all careful and mask up and get vaccinated. I think that's just, to me, that's what keeps me up at night now, this problem with our fragile healthcare system getting overwhelmed, not just with COVID cases, but with other cases as well. So I think people forget that, too, that it's not just that we might not have room for you in an intensive care unit if you have severe COVID, but also for people who have other medical problems that might need an intensive care unit, you know, severe infections, bad traumas, that kind of thing is it's really hard to wrap your mind around, but it's something that all of us kind of got to participate in order to protect all of us. So
sure. Yeah, a couple other things, you know, if you're sick, stay home. And or if you've been around anybody that you know has COVID, stay home too. Sometimes I hear people say, well, I haven't been told by contact tracing that I'm a close contact. I thought I was, but I haven't been called. So I'm still going to go around. And I know right now contact tracing is taking at least 24 to 48 hours to get to initial interviews. And then it might be another 24 hours before close contacts are notified. And even then, you know, people who are close contacts might not make the list. So if you know you're a close contact with somebody who's known to have COVID or suspected to have COVID, we really recommend that you also quarantine and get tested.
Yeah, that's a good point, because that's the best way to prevent the disease from spreading any further if there is a case, is to make sure that the sick person stays in isolation and that anyone who might be exposed gets into quarantine right away. And if we could do that, then we can stop some of these outbreaks in their tracks. And I think you said something that's really important, and that's, you know, if you're sick, don't go to work or school. That's really important. We really want to limit the number of sick people that are out in places where they might expose other people. So if you have a cold, not feeling well, now is not the time to sort of power through and try to work anyway. We really need you not to come to work or school. We're calling that symptom-free schools and a symptom-free workplace.
Yeah. And we get the question a lot of times. People say, oh, well, I just have seasonal allergies, or, I get this every year, but it's just a runny nose. You know, some people get pretty mild COVID. The problem is they can give it to other, you know, so they don't think it's COVID because they hear so much about how terrible COVID is. But the problem is we don't know who's going to get really sick and who's not. And it might actually be sometimes those symptoms from COVID are the exact same as seasonal allergies. And so the only way to know is to get tested. And stay away from other people while you're waiting for those test results. The problem, you know, you could then go give it to somebody who is a person who's going to have a severe reaction and need to use one of those ICU beds that just aren't available anywhere right now. So stay home, get tested.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Definitely get that mask on too. That's just so important. I think you made a point earlier that really it's so important that everyone wears masks, because you might have COVID and not have any symptoms or just be really mildly ill, and you can still pass that on to other people. Even if you yourself don't feel very sick. I think some of the highest viral loads when people are the most infectious is right before they even have symptoms. So that's a really important thing for everyone to understand, is that that's why masks are so essential, so that we can prevent all of us from spreading COVID if we happen to get an infection, even if we're fully vaccinated. So that's an important thing for everyone to understand.
Yeah, and I think they say 2 days before symptom onset, some of your highest viral loads. So.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why this virus has been such a global pandemic. Most viruses actually aren't like that. The common cold, other things, you can spread it when you feel sick. And so it's easier to prevent those from spreading because you can identify the people who are spreading it. But COVID, for whatever reason, people are most likely to spread it before they're even sick themselves. So that's why universal masking at all times when you're outside of your household is important. And for right now, I think it's really important to avoid large gatherings of any size, anything, any indoor gathering. I think right now is just not a good idea. We're seeing so many infections after vaccine and lots of infections in our kids. It's just, I think, important to put that all off for now and while we try to get this current surge under control.
Yeah, especially, you know, with the situation we're seeing with the ICU beds, for sure.
Yeah, that's very worrisome.
We have a caller. Susan from Bethel is on the line. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for doing this show and this topic. I'm concerned. I do see crowded parking lots by a certain restaurant again and by a church, and the situation now is more serious than ever. And they're not doing testing at the airport. I don't know if it's because of funding or staffing, but I'd like to see that resumed again. Or maybe the last time they did the airport testing, much wasn't caught that way. I don't know. So my question is if we can resume the airport testing or not, or was that worthwhile? And just the concern I have with restaurants and churches and stuff being COVID petri dishes once again. So. All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can take the restaurant one maybe, and Dr. Hodges, if you want to talk about testing, but for any place, we're recommending any public place. We think trying to avoid as much as possible anywhere where people might be gathering, and especially gathering without masks. So, you know, takeout is probably a little bit safer option at this point than going to a place where there's in-person dining. And, you know, by the nature of what happens there, you're going to have to remove your masks. And we're not recommending indoor gathering anywhere where there's a gathering of more than 10 people because it's just too risky at this point. We do want to support local businesses, though. So, I'm not saying don't support your local restaurants. I think most of our restaurants, though, have options for takeout. So you know, maybe avoid eating, but instead call and place a pickup order and try to support your local business that way.
Yeah, no, that's important, too. Thanks. And that's a really good question about the testing. We always have meetings. Just this morning, I was in a meeting about testing and where we should test and who should be testing where. And so that's always an option. When we found the people who were testing, there were very few people that were opting for testing at the airport. And the people who were doing that, who were opting for testing, maybe wasn't the target audience that we really wanted to test. I think that was another reason why we stopped doing that. But it's always on the table, and we're always in constant discussions about changing the way we do things. For right now, we're going to continue not offering testing at the airport, but we might consider increasing the testing options we have, maybe at our tent near the hospital or in front of the CHSB building. So I think that's always kind of the topic, is like, what's the best way to test to catch the most number of people, especially since Bethel's having a pretty big outbreak right now, and we have a lot of close contacts who need to be tested. I think that's a big issue for all of us, to make sure we get enough people tested so that we can detect all of the cases that we need to detect and like I said, stop this surge before it gets even worse than it is.
Yeah, testing from travel is kind of a tricky one, too. I was seeing mixed results from that. Uh-huh. I mean, we definitely want anybody that traveled recently to get tested. I think it's a good idea to get tested, and you should test right away. Is not a bad idea to test. Test all the time. Traveling is a high-risk activity. We definitely think it's a good idea to travel if you need to for essential reasons, especially if you need medical care. But, you know, because it's higher risk, it's a good idea to test after you travel. The problem was a lot of people were testing right after they traveled, or like as soon as they land at the airport, and then they'd have a negative test result and think they were in the clear. But And when you're exposed to COVID, it can take up to 14 days from when you're exposed to that virus for the virus to replicate enough inside your body to where you'll start shedding COVID and be able to infect other people. And so if you test too early in that process and you get a negative test result, it doesn't mean that you weren't exposed to COVID and won't go on to develop COVID in between, you know, that test result. You could get that negative test result after you were exposed. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, you know, they traveled, got exposed to COVID, got a negative test result, thought they're in the clear, and then infected other people. So what we say is test after travel and then test again a week later and monitor yourself for symptoms for 14 days. By testing a week later, it significantly decreases the likelihood that you have COVID and will give it to other people if that test is negative, but it's not zero. And so you still need to monitor yourself for symptoms for up to 14 days. And we do offer a walk-in testing at the hospital. I can't quite remember our hours. Maybe Dr. Hodges could share the hours for the walk-in testing, but BinaxNOW testing at the hospital Monday through Friday. So, if you've traveled recently, please go get tested at the BinaxNOW clinic.
Yeah. Those hours are 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And so, yeah, come in, get tested. And I agree with that. I think getting tested, about a week after you travel is really important too. It's a good way to catch those cases that you got while you were being exposed, either where you were, your destination where you were visiting, or en route during the traveling period, especially during this time frame when there's so much COVID circulating in our communities.
Yeah, and around the state and around the country. And so, and travel is a risky activity. And you can also get BinaxNOW tested at any one of our Village Health clinics. You just call and they can set up a time for you to come in and get tested. A lot of villages also have requirements that if you've traveled recently that you quarantine, especially if you're unvaccinated. Unvaccinated individuals are way higher risk of getting COVID, so a lot of them require just unvaccinated individuals to quarantine for 2 weeks. Some places require everybody to quarantine for 2 weeks. And even if you have to quarantine for 2 weeks, we suggest, you know, get tested a week into it, and then you know, and that way you know if you have COVID and have exposed other people in your household as well.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to be super cautious about that, especially if you've traveled. And then I think we're almost out of time here, but one last plug for everyone to get vaccinated. I think for those of you who out there who are vaccinated, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing that. Please share your story with your friends and family, especially those who aren't vaccinated. Talk about why you got vaccinated, talk about how it went and how you felt afterwards. And if you are unvaccinated, you will eventually catch COVID. Delta variant is very, very contagious. Please consider vaccination. These vaccines have been given to hundreds of millions of people. They're safe. They're highly effective against severe COVID. And it's the way out of this pandemic. It's unfortunate that this public health measure has become so politicized in our country. But that's just the way out of the pandemic is through widespread vaccinations. So I just strongly encourage you to talk to your doctor and get the information you need from reliable sources and get an appointment in our vaccine clinic and get vaccinated.
Before we wrap up, we have one more caller. Here is Martha from Bethel. Martha, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I have a question. Maybe somebody asked it already, but those of us who were vaccinated, like I think in February, when do we get our third booster?
Sure. That's a great question. So for people who have immune problems with their immune system, we want to see you right now. Right now, today, we'd like to get you that third dose. If it's for people who are just in the general population who need to get a booster dose, September 20th is the date that we're shooting for to start getting those booster shots offered.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
And thanks, KYK. I guess in closing for me, I 100% agree with Dr. Hodges. Vaccination is such an amazing tool we have, and please go get vaccinated. If you have questions, call AK. We'd be happy to talk to you about vaccine. Anybody that qualifies is old enough to get vaccinated, please get vaccinated. It's totally safe and very effective. The other thing I'd say is if you're sick, stay home, please. Even mild illness could be COVID, and go get tested. If you're even minor symptoms, please go get tested and avoid going out in public. And for everyone, mask up.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian. I agree with that. And just add the last thing is this is a difficult and difficult for everyone. So some kindness and compassion all around is useful. So be kind to each other. Be compassionate.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much to Dr. Hodges and Brian for joining us today here on Wellness Wednesday for a special edition of the COVID Call-In Show. Brian and Dr. Hodges will be back on Wednesday, September 15th, again at 10 a.m. So if you didn't get your questions in or if you have more, you can save them for then, or you can email them to me at elle@kyuk.org, and we'll get them answered for you as soon as possible. Thank you so much for joining us here on Wellness Wednesday. Thanks to Brian and Dr. Hodges, and we will see you next week. Thanks for joining us for Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Catch us anytime at kyuk.org or live here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. on KYUK 640 a.m.